We have a message I'm going to minister this morning. We're going to, still be talking about, which we have been preaching and teaching on the areas of living on Sunday mornings, living a life of faith. And that's an important thing. And we living a life of faith is one of the things is, today, much of the world, we live in a world that everything, people are always trying to prove everything from the natural. And a lot of Christianity is doing it. A lot of Christianity is trying to prove naturally that things of the Bible are true. And sometimes I think they perpetrate things as facts. Sometimes I think they do a bad job of it. But it's one of the things, there's things that we need to know that we accept by faith. I was talking about earlier, we accept by faith the things that the Bible says. Is it true or isn't it? You can't prove it. We can't sit down and say, well, let's bring Mary here and let's find out, she's not here. And, we can't find out those things. And I want you to understand something when it comes to areas of faith. Could God step out of heaven down here and reveal himself to everybody as God? And he would come and he would be, 10,000 feet tall, and he would stand over the earth and walk around the earth and say things to people and say, look, the Bible's true. He could do that. From a standpoint, God could do that. God won't do that. Is number one, it would violate his word. But God could do that. And see, this is what most people, this is why people sit down and look and think, about trying to figure out things of faith. God wants people just to believe what his word says. That's what he wants. He gave his word. And it's one thing is we've lost. We live in a world of liars. Most people today are liars. Most people will lie about anything. Most people will, sometimes people I find is the most incredible thing I know, working in sales and things from years, people would do things and come along and they would just lie to you and tell you that, such and such happened and it didn't happen. But it's some of the nicest people, all declared to be Christians. They'd lie to you about things. And people will lie. And we live in a world of lies. And when you live around the world of lies, especially if people become liars, I remember Kenneth Hagin said, if you're a liar, you'll never believe a thing you say. He said, your faith will never work. Because if you're a liar, you can't believe what you say. And you're stuck by what you say. That's how your faith operates. But if you can't believe what's said, and if someone's reputation is not good, you can't have confidence in them. And it's one thing is God gave us his word, and God expects man to believe what his word says. That's what he expects of us. And so, we're living in a world where, anybody says anything can become truth. Well, this is what this person believes. Well, except today, really, unless you can say whatever you believe is true as long as you're not a Christian who believes the Bible, then you're not allowed to. Only the perverts and the sinners are allowed to say what they believe. They're the ones who are allowed to. The rest of us are supposed to keep quiet. I'm going to get noisier, actually. I'm just going to get more big mouth about this. I'm sorry. Put me in jail. I'll just get people saved. I'll just make it harder on them. I'll make it worse for them. Lock me up and we'll just have a revival. So, let me alone. I don't care. People say, they'll come to the place of putting you to death. Dear Lord, send me to heaven. My God, you want to stay and live in this earth alone and be part of the sinner group? Some Christians, they would rather have life than live for God. They'd rather live physically than live for God. And we got to come to the point that we don't want to. But I want to talk to you about the area of the faith in it. We're talking about, and we celebrate the Christmas season, but I want you to look at, we're going to look at two people of faith today. Two people of faith from the Scriptures. And really, if we look at from the standpoint of faith, really had great faith. They had great faith in what they did and what they did for God with such limited amount of knowledge of what God was doing. And I want to go look at, first of all, Luke in the first chapter. We're going to go look and we're going to talk about Mary. I want to look first at Mary because we want to see here because we're talking about living a life of faith. And we need to understand that living a life of faith is not for some group of people or somebody. Mary, we're going to find Mary was not a priest. She was not, a Levite. She wasn't, a Pharisee. She didn't belong to her husband wasn't a Pharisee. She didn't belong to that kind of a group and this and that. She didn't belong to the right, groups other than God's group. She was in the lineage of David, which was a good thing. from her, which, but understand this, Mary had to be, according to Scripture, she had to be in that lineage. She had to be. If she was not in the lineage of David, then Jesus Christ was not the Messiah, and the Bible's a lie. She had to be. Scripturally, they had to. And so she was in that lineage. Now, I'm just going to read to you down through this thing here, because we want to talk a little bit about Mary. And then starting at verse 26, it says there, "Now in the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and she'll call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then the angel said to Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to the word.' And the angel departed from her." I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about this, because I was looking at Mary. We would look at Mary, we know very little about her. You know, is number one, I believe this holy, that the scriptures did not tell us much about her, just because we have a group today and they worship Mary. And all this kind of stuff is why, the Bible is not about magnifying other people. We look in the scriptures, we don't know much about any of the apostles. We know things about their ministries. We know things about them. And you need to understand, the Bible is not magnifying, the New Testament never magnifies other people. It magnifies Jesus. And see, this is one of the things that we lost today. And we need to understand that, because if we look at Mary, I want you to think about this. See, people today think you got to be in some kind of great status or do some things. If you went today in the church world, not to, let's say the Spirit-filled church world, let's not go over here among some groups that we consider, they don't know. But if you come among the Spirit-filled, and if you'd sit down and you would talk to, the biggest leaders and that stuff, if they would think that the Messiah, hadn't come yet, and we're talking about, the Messiah, how will he come? Well, they would definitely, most of them would think comes from one of their great individuals. That's where it would come from. But I'm going to tell you, that's exactly who it could not come from. The Messiah could not come. If he would have came and been born in a great household and everything else, he would have probably never fulfilled God's plan in the earth. Because he would have had pressure from the time that he was little to be everything that man wanted him to be than what God wanted him to be. And you need to know this about faith. This is one of the things, is whatever God's called you to do, if you're looking in life, and this is most people today, most people watch, and pay too much attention to too much what goes on TV. The average person tries to attain to too much status in America. The average person, too many Christians do, they're always trying to attain to a status. People are always trying to be seen. Always trying to be seen. They're trying to be there. That wasn't the purpose of the Messiah. Think about this. We have, from the scripture tells us about the birth, then we have a jump to when Jesus was, 12 years old, and then a brief story, and then a jump to his ministry. Told almost nothing about his personal life. We almost know nothing about his personal life or anything up through those. Lives 30 years without a whole bunch of things. Well, we'll just give more people to build religions around stuff. Especially, the Christian, even the Spirit-filled people, they'd be doing it. They'd be building, they'd be doing all kind of crazy stuff too. It doesn't tell us those things. It's one of the things, the Messiah had to come in obscurity. He had to fulfill the plan of God. He had to. Do you know, there's many people, if they become popular, they will never fulfill the plan of God for their life. You know, one of the worst things that's happened to many people in ministry, they become popular. When they become popular, their ministry goes to ruin. It's the promotion. It's like, I know this from like going to Rhema. People, you know, oh, if I could just go over here and I could, if this guy would only let me preach in his church, then I could get out. I've watched people do that. I've watched people start off and go, oh, if I could, they push to try to get into the right places and the right groups. And I watch them doing it. I've seen many people 4 or 5 years of ministry and they blow up really good and all people are out bragging about them. Next thing you know, they've fallen and they're out of the ministry. I've seen more ministers go out than come in. It's because people are shooting for popularity today. God had a plan for this woman, this obscure woman. She's a young woman. You know, so they talk about where her age could be somewhere, and somebody says, well, you know, she is as young as 13. There's nowhere we find from a historical idea that that's probably true. That's probably not true at all in their societies. I think, you know, some Christians just get over weird and, you know, somebody gets an idea, so they just throw it out there. I just can't see God come along and say, let's pick a 13-year-old girl and let's go, you know, people think like people. They don't think like God. But anyhow, she's a young woman. She's betrothed to a man. Now look, she's obscure. But you know what? There's one thing that you can, there's things that you, if you know the Bible, that you can tell about Mary. Number one, Mary, without a doubt, must be a godly woman. A young woman, but she must be following God. She must be very following God close. You need to understand this. God cannot put his son, just like today, most Christian homes, if the Messiah hadn't come and we were around, most Christians today would never, ever even come close to qualification that God would consider his son to be born through. Because they don't walk close enough with God. Now, number one, because God brings his son into the earth, you need to understand this. His son must follow the law. Therefore, he must be born in a home that they are closely following the law. Because if they don't follow the law, he's going to be raised not come out here following the law himself. And he does not going to qualify as the Messiah. So, he has to have, in other words, he's going to be born through a woman. This woman, now she might be obscure, but this I know about her, she's godly. You know, God just didn't put, well, let's just pick that girl over there. Man, I think she can do it. You know, she can have a kid. Yeah, what do we do there? You know, people never think 2 seconds why God picked her. You know, probably God stepped over thousands and thousands of women and said, man, there's one. There's this thing, one thing I know about Mary. And I know by the story, Mary is a woman of great faith. She's a woman of great faith. She's been practicing faith a long time before this happened. People who don't walk in faith don't say to an angel that appears and get this kind of message and say, yeah, whatever God wants to do. No, they don't do that. They would never do that. People today who tell me they're people of faith would never even consider doing that. I want you to think about her. She comes along. She's told something, you know, and especially, I mean, the Messiah is going to come into the earth. She's told by an angel appears. See, everybody say, well, see, if an angel appeared, I would believe it more. I want you to understand this. It tells us in the book of Hebrews, in the first chapter, that we have a greater word than they did. He said, even than if an angel would tell you. It says in Hebrews. If an angel spoke it, he says, we have a greater word. Why? We have the Son spoke. If you don't believe the words of Jesus, an angel appearing to you ain't going to do squat for you. I'm just telling you that. If you think an angel appearing is going to make some big deal for you and you're just going to be, woo! Man, I've been around people who said they saw angels and I didn't even want to be around them. Seeing angels, hearing angels, don't you? That doesn't make you a person of faith. Mary is a person of faith. Mary has been walking. Mary's been walking in faith with the Word of God. She believes, and she's living a life, and she's living a life that's right. It's another thing if it is. You wouldn't go to just any individual and offer them this. Do you realize the pressure? You realize the pressure that's going to come out of this? You know, just like I'm sure from Mary's standpoint, you sure wouldn't go out and tell, you can't even go tell your relatives. You know, you go tell your relatives, I'm sorry, an angel appeared to me, I'm going to have a baby, it's going to be God without, you know. Could you imagine what your relatives would say? You imagine what your relatives would do? I mean, the most religious ones will get the rocks, and you did. They'll be out killing you shortly. So you can't pick somebody. God couldn't pick somebody who is a flaky, you know, fly-by-night believer. You can't pick them. You can't have them. See, we can see a lot about her. I mean, she's not. This is not some little task. This is some huge thing. But she's a young woman. She can do this. See, people can walk by faith if they want to. Now, it takes time to develop a life of walking in faith. See, people look today. We look at these people out here like a man like Abraham's. He offers his son. And see, people sit around and they look at those things and people marvel at those things. We shouldn't marvel at those things. The church should have much more faith than they did. But the church marvels at their faith. We should be the greatest believers there are. If anybody ought to believe the word of God at a drop of the hat, it should be us. We should be the first ones that, yeah, it's true. You know, my God, God said it, it's so. Well, I don't know about that. But she hears an angel appears to her. Just think, I mean, we don't have the recording. It doesn't say that the angel stood there and tried to convince her for 2 or 3 hours. That this, you know, you ought to listen to this stuff. We have this, you know, short visit, and she says, okay, whatever you say, that's just going to happen, okay? I'm going to yield to this thing. Now, I'm sure we know this. Mary didn't understand all that was going to go on or happen about this. She didn't understand it all. My words, we know later on, you know, she couldn't figure out what her son's ministry started and all the things started up and all the trouble he caused by preaching what was true. Mary's down there thinking, and the Bible tells us she thought he went crazy. She thought he went nuts. This man's crazy. Hey, what happened? They went down to a place to try to take him home. Tells us in the scripture. You know, I'm sure from somewhat she'd say, man, that's my oldest son down there. Come on, boy, they're going to kill you. Come on home with mama. Their parents have killed a lot of people's faith. A lot of their children's faith. Parents kill a lot of their children's faith because they just keep trying to take care of everything. And they wouldn't know true when it comes. See, we need to... Here he is. He's out there preaching. Now she was told by an angel what it was going to be. I don't know if she thought she was going to make it happen or not. I don't know what she thought. But understand, she didn't. But the whole thing of it is, she was obedient to it. You know, people act like, you know, God came along and did this. She didn't have no say in it. She had say. You know, people say, oh, God sent his son into the earth. You need to know this. God didn't send his son into the earth without the help of people. And see, we need to learn from these things because the reason most Christians have trouble in the faith area, they are believing God but have no walk. They believe what the Bible says, but they have no walk. They have no godly walk. They don't walk out what they believe. They'll say, I believe God. These people had to walk out something. They had to live something. They had to do something. Understand, I mean, think about her. This wasn't, we're believing God, and you know, well, all of a sudden the baby comes, everything's over and all that stuff, and this is a 9-month thing we're doing, you know? This becomes a lifetime concerning of walking in faith, concerning this child that's going to be born. This is a lifetime. She can't go down to the temple or she can't go to the synagogue and listen to sound preaching about the Messiah because they don't know. They're going to preach, oh yeah, he's going to come as a king and a warrior and he's going to do all this stuff and he's going to take over and he's going to sit on David's seat and we're going to lick the Romans. That's what he's going to hear down there. She's going to hear that. So she has nobody that's going to be in Israel preaching her the right stuff. There's only a few that know. You know, there's Simeon and what was the lady, the prophet, Anna. The two of them, they knew. They knew what was going on. The Pharisees didn't have a clue. The scribes, they didn't have a clue. Nobody had a clue. So she has nobody to preach to her about the truth. She must have been seeking God. And here's one of the things, you know, the Bible says, seek and you'll find. You're going to have to look for something. Mary had to be looking for God. She had to be a person. A true person of faith is always looking for something. They're never satisfied where they are. If you're satisfied where you are, you're probably not walking by faith. She's a person seeking God. And that's the way it is. Seek and you'll find. See, it's like I've always said, the things that I've learned God showed me, it always just opened up to me more questions about other things I want. Hold on, well then what about this and what about that? Some people, they don't. Some people sit back and say, God shows them something, that's it. They have no interest to get, well, if he wants to show me, he will. If he wants to this or he wants to that, then he'll do that. Well, no, that isn't how it works. Mary was a girl of faith. Just think about it. She's obscure, doesn't know anybody, yet she is going to be used for one of the greatest events of the history of the world. No national television, no all the stuff that we have to have today and people have to do, but she's going to walk by faith. She's just going to believe what God wanted to do, and she's going to do it. This woman lives and dies really unknown other than what's in Scripture about her after her death. And then what's written about her is a little bit. But the whole thing of it is, she's fulfilling the will of God. Hey, she got her name in the book. There's loads of people think they're going to heaven and ain't even got their name in the book up there. We know she made it up there because she got her name in the book here. We get but I want you to get this idea. She just willingly accepted it, and so easily. She wasn't, you know, maybe she was, I don't know what type of home she was born in, but probably she was had a good parents and that stuff that raised her right, who trusted God and believed God. And the worst thing about it, the Messiah is going to be born through a woman who lives in Nazareth. Dear Lord, not down in Jerusalem? What kind of, you know? You know, somebody come along in Nazareth, the Messiah is going to be born in Nazareth. I could hear all the Pharisees down there. Oh, I did not something. Oh, my God, Nazareth. I mean, who do those people think they are? My God, those poor dumb people up in Nazareth, they don't know nothing. But she's born, and really, so she's obscure. See, you might feel that you're obscure. And this is why, you know, some people think, they don't think it's important that we develop our faith and learn to walk by faith. What if Mary wouldn't have? What if Mary thought it was no big deal to follow? Well, you know, hey, I'm a Jew. You know, one day, you know, God's going to take me and I get to be with God. Some, you know, and it's, I'm a Jew. That's what most Christianity is. Well, you know, I'll get to heaven one day. It don't really matter down here. But God used her in a powerful way. Most people today, they think if God wants to use you in a powerful way, it's going to put you out in the front of everybody. And that's the way people think. And many times God can't use people because our thinking is the American way. The American way, if it's big, it's this great. This is what God, if it's big, you know, there's God. You know, if you the bigger the thing gets, the more it's God. This must be God, it's big. I'll tell you, God was doing a big thing, but it sure looked little. It would never be through the ones that we would pick from the human mind. Mary just said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Listen, her statement. What did she call us? I'm the maidservant of the Lord. So in other words, whatever he wants to do, I'm going to go along with it. Why? I'm a servant. You know, Mary didn't consider, in fact, she didn't even consider she wanted to have a choice in a thing. She said, I'm a maid servant of the Lord. It's about what my Lord wants. It ain't about what I would like. She's really a different attitude. She's a spiritual lady. She's a spiritual lady. I could see most people today, most Christians, what's in this for me? You know, we don't have anything from a natural perspective. Mary raised the Messiah and didn't become a millionaire. Shoot, a lot of the teaching today that's taught out here. You know why? That's the last thing she needed. Become a big figure in the public eye was the last thing. When Jesus started his ministry, you know, we've been teaching on the life of Christ. They tried to, as soon as he was out and his ministry started, they wanted to make him king. See, if he was born in affluence and all that kind of stuff, that's the whole thing. The public pressure. The public pressure. See, people have to understand. You know, people talk about sitting around living forever. John the Baptist gave up his life for the Messiah. I don't know many ministers, big name ministers, would ever even conceive the idea to give up their life for much of anything. John the Baptist said, hey, hold it. The ministry can go further if I get out of here. If I become less, this thing's gone. My job is to get to be less, not bigger. And see, we have Mary. Mary's this kind of girl. Mary's this kind of girl. This is a powerful thing. You know, I ain't against anybody being wealthy or anything, stuff like that, but we need to understand God has a plan sometimes, and it ain't what man thinks the plan is. Of what we consider big or what we consider huge or what we consider would carry the message or what would happen. You know, and so this is why it's like, I admire Mary and Joseph. I just, you know, Joseph, we almost have on anything to say about. But what he did, what Joseph did in his time and what he carried out. I want to go over to the book of Matthew, the first chapter, talk to you about Joseph. Saying to you about Mary. Let's go to Joseph. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate the birth of the Messiah because these people walked with God. See, we talk about what God did, but God did it through people. If you take today the church world, the way things have been going, what will people soon be celebrating? Nothing. Because really, if the church don't come back to walk in faith with God again and don't come back to its place where it will stand up and say, we're going to preach the truth, we don't care who likes it or what, it don't matter to us. You know, if the church empties out, I don't care, I'm going to keep preaching what's true. We got to come back to the place. These people, the thing would not have taken place had they not been obedient. But they were obedient. And so we have with Joseph in the first chapter of Matthew, verse 18 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. It says, now we need to understand this. We don't have that if Joseph, because we have the account with Mary where she told was going up. I don't know if Mary told Joseph specifically. She may have said, look, an angel appeared to me. She may have told him. Now, you need to understand this. The fact that he heard that and he was skeptical about it, well, he had a right to be. He hadn't heard from an angel, didn't tell him. He hadn't told him up this time. He hears this. He's betrothed to a woman. But I preached about this before with this Joseph. I was like, it says that Joseph, it says her husband, it says being a just man. He said just man. That word could also be translated righteous. In other words, he was a righteous man. He was a just man. He did what was right. Here's a man who does what's right. We know about him now. There ain't a whole bunch of these found around Israel. When Jesus ran in to a centurion who believed what he said, I have not found as great a faith in all Israel. Jesus is walking around and said, I never found anybody, just believe the word. He's out here in ministry. He knows this. He comes from a family of a mom and a dad who had father who raised him, the guy who raised him. They were people who believed the word of God. He gets out there in the preaching ministry and finds out, man, all these people out here call themselves religious. They don't believe God. And he runs in to a centurion who is a Gentile who believes what the word says. A Gentile who is a heathen. He's not under covenant. He's a heathen. And he believes the word says. And Jesus goes, wow, I haven't seen nothing like this in all Israel. I said, whoa. Well, one thing we know. Joseph here, Joseph's a guy. Joseph, now look, this is the thing that I admire about him because we find him, he says, it says that he was a just man. He said he was not wanting to make make her a public example and was minded to put her away secretly. See, people don't understand our culture today. If a young girl runs out here and gets pregnant, they would bring her in the church and cheer. Yay, she did. Now let's all get money together and take care of her. And oh, this is a wonderful thing. And, you know, we really have an opportunity here to show our love. We'd never say it's wrong. We wouldn't say like Jesus did to the woman who, caught in adultery saying, go and sin no more. No, it's not sin anymore. It's okay. I mean, even in Spirit-filled churches, it's not sin anymore. You just made a mistake. No, it's called sin. And you don't do it anymore. And see, we've lost that. We've lost that. You know, that doesn't. So we see now. You need to understand the society that he's brought. That this is taking place is under the law. Now, understand the prostitute who is caught. What are they going to do to her? What happens to a woman who gets pregnant? You stone them. This is one thing that I admire, because here we see about Joseph. Joseph is not a man who is just concerned about his reputation and what he looks like. And I'm sorry, most of Christianity is motivated by me. It's all about. I've heard people all the time, and stuff comes up in their family and happened. I've had people come up to me and say, well, what are they going to think of us? I say, well, they're going to probably think you a heathen, you idiot. Why don't you act in love toward the person who got the problem? Who cares what they're going to think of you? You do what's right, they'll crucify you. So get over it. That's why most Christians never do right, because they want to be popular. I want anybody to keep liking me. This guy sees what's going on. We see about him. This man, he says, what I'm going to do for her reputation's sake. Now, he's not going to marry her. I'm sure this one thing. People are going to be asking questions, but he ain't talking. They're going to be asking questions, but he ain't talking. He's going to secretly, so nothing happens to her. I'm going to tell you what. Thank God they weren't down with those religious people down in Jerusalem. That would have been it. Could you imagine? How would you ever have got the Messiah to be born in Jerusalem? Because anybody who the Holy Ghost would have pregnated, they'd have killed him. I mean, think about it. But I like this, because we're really dealing with two people who walk by faith. Two people here are people of faith. They didn't just that day. You don't find, people don't one day become these types of people. Under pressure, I see people who act like they're godly, and under pressure, you find out how godly they are. As soon as the pressure starts, you find out where they are faith-wise. These people are under pressure, and look at their reactions. See, we know about them. These people have been walking by faith. This isn't a one-day start thing. These people have been living this life. They've been walking this thing. God gave his kid into a care of two great people. Thank God. Hallelujah. Verse 20 says, while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Here we see this guy. He has one dream. An angel appears to him in a dream. He just gets up and goes, marries the girl. Takes her off, immediately obeys it, immediately does it. Doesn't think about it, doesn't think a thing about it. Immediately obeys. And see, a lot of people, the pressure don't stop from here. You know, a lot of people, well, you know, they get married, you know, it's just like the people, you know, they get trouble sexually, the girl gets pregnant, well, let's get them to get married. You know, if there are two heathens and they get married, they're going to have a heathen marriage. They're trying, like, let's cover this, all this stuff up and get them together, and it'll make this thing, it'll be nice, and it'll be cute and everything, and we're going to make everything right for the child. The parents ain't going to live for God. Who cares? There ain't nothing right happening for the child. It's just going to be two heathens turning another human being into a heathen. That's what it becomes. Well, if they get married, like, God's going, whoopee, woohoo, yaha, isn't this wonderful? Marriage is for a Christian. I don't know what the heathen is supposed to do. I ain't got a clue. I'm only interested in what the Christians are doing. I don't marry heathens. You know? But we got a messed up society today, and we live in it. But we find two people. I mean, these two people would definitely be freaks in the church today. They would be freaks. Because you know, like most people don't even in the church world think like they're thinking. They wouldn't be doing what they're doing. You know, they are not broadcasting the thing. They're just carrying this thing normal. They act like they're doing anything special. I mean, these two have both have had a divine appointment with God. But we know this. They've been walking with God before they had the divine appointment. But they just carry it out. Just like, hey, we're just going to do this. I really like the things of Joseph and his honor. You know, Joseph definitely must have loved her. You know, is the fact of what he would do. But he's a man of integrity. And his idea is the thing is to protect, which we see here, and his idea is to protect her. See, a totally difference in the ideas about people today in marriage. If the church world would preach more about Mary's and Joseph's and about marriage in line with Mary's, these two characters, there'd be a lot better marriages in the church. What the church does today is preaches the American marriage, you know. And it's all this 50-50 junk garbage and all this kind of stuff. No, it's 100% both sides do what God says. It has nothing to do with 50-50 of anything. And marriages and stuff, and that's why lots of times people within their marriages, their faith don't work. They can't get stuff done. It's because everybody's trying to be everything but what God called them to be. And that's why you don't marry anybody that ain't being what God wants them to be. Because you're just signing up for trouble. That's the way it is. You're signing up for trouble. You get in the idea, well, I'll marry him, I'll change him, I guarantee you they'll change you, you'll be a miserable idiot, and we'll all have to put up with you then, crying and whining, pray for us, pray for us. Say, no, we'll just cast the devil out of you, and maybe that'll help get it straightened out. That's good preaching anyhow, folks. No, you don't. And we see there, these are two godly people that are brought together. And we see is their hearts for God. God tells them to do something. It's not a big thing. You know, and I'm, think about this. Now, the child is born. Now, we know through the whole thing of all the stuff that happened, you know, after the child's born. And, we singing about the shepherds and all this kind of stuff. And things are going, all the event takes place. Now, folks, all that sounds neat and good. But we need to understand, within a couple years' time, trouble is banging at the door. Now, in the middle of all this, where these two are just playing, you know, we're just walking, following God. We know this, that it happened. It could be up to a 2-year period, maybe less. But one of the things that the wise men come, and in Matthew, the 2nd chapter, when the wise men showed up, the wise men didn't show up were at the manger. They weren't there. We find out Mary and Joseph are living in Bethlehem. In other words, they came down over the tax thing. Everybody had to show up to where they paid taxes. You know, in other words, you had to, today isn't it nice, we can just send the check. Or we can, you know, do it online or do it something like that. You don't have to show up at the town where it's, you know, this is the city of David, and this is where if you're in that lineage, you got to come down here and pay your tax. But wouldn't that be fun? Everybody in the United States had moved to any other place, you'd have to be heading back somewhere to do that. Well, they did it in those days like that. But anyhow, so the wise men come, and it's in Matthew, the 2nd chapter, verse 11, it says, concerning the wise men, it says, and when they had come into the house, see, they weren't at the, they came into the house, there was a house, and they saw the child, don't say a baby, it was a child. In fact, the word used there is not baby. So it wasn't a baby, he wasn't a baby. It says, with Mary and his mother. It says, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasuries, they said they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So they gave him gifts. Did you ever think about this? You know, I've watched, and here's one thing science has done, even Christian science, they're trying to figure out the star. Which star was this that was seen that they followed? Now, I want you to, let's get around here. If people only just believe what the Bible says. Now, I want to tell you what I want you all to do. Now, the next time you see let's see the evening star, which, you know, Venus is the evening star. You see it. Go follow it and see where you end up at. I want you to think about it. This could not have been a regular. Stars were used for navigation, but stars never brought you. Look, I want to find out where Mike lives. Well, if you follow this star, it'll take you over to Mike's house. Well, you couldn't do that. Stars wouldn't be. You would have to have a destination you want to attain to, and you can find out where you are, you know, and that stuff. But understand the fact that they could follow a star, and the star ended up over a certain town. Now, could that be natural? What happens? You go out here and you follow a star, and you know what? That star, you keep moving, that star just keeps staying. You just keep moving. So see, it couldn't have been a natural event. What they saw couldn't lead you. I mean, it's absolutely, but you know what one thing it is? It doesn't line up to the intellect of men, so they just figure, well, they'll figure all this other stuff and add it in. They came down and they went to Jerusalem. They said, hey, we're here to see the king. I mean, the star, they're down there and say, hey, the star, we followed the star. And here we are in Jerusalem. Well, you know, I mean, how would you know a star would ever take you to Jerusalem? I mean, why wouldn't they follow a star and it'd take them to, you know, Kansas City? But they knew it. I mean, it took them to a specific place. And they went down, okay, where's the king? We've been following the star. They didn't say a certain star appeared, so we knew that the king of the Jew was born. They didn't say that. They said, we followed the star. We followed it. The star they knew in representation. So they got there. Anyhow, we find out that they were, it says in verse 12, and then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed from their own country another way. It says, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So, I mean, here you are. Now they're down there. They followed this thing. And, you know, is number one, they had a... Now, it's one of the things is they make out, you know, somewhat of Mary and Joseph. You know, they're just so poor, you know. That, and see, the teaching is they went down. They were so poor. They couldn't get into the inn, you know. And a bad man. You know, they always show the bad guy. You know, this bad guy won't... No, it's because all the rooms were filled. You know, if you were driving down the highway, you're looking for a hotel to stay in, and you pull and they say, no, we don't have any vacancies. Do we take a photograph and put the manager on TV and say, look at this lousy bum, would not give me a room? The church world is so carnal and so stupid. The stuff that they've made up as they went along. It was full. They got there. Could you imagine all the people was coming in that little town? We didn't talk about they were going to a town and it had, you know, to find a room in a place, they had an inn, but you need to understand, people, relatives who lived in the place, people would come and stay. In Israel, it was, if you were a traveler, it was very common that if you went to a town, I mean, people would just take you into their home to keep you overnight if you were passing through. They would do that. That was one of the things that under the law was required by Jews to do. We didn't understand there was an influx of people come into this town. It's huge. It's probably two or three times the population of the place. And they come in. Nobody's being mean to them. No one was being mean. It was just, that's the way it was. The town is filled. I'm going to guarantee you, as sure as the sun comes up, there was other pregnant women in that place too. What do you think? Mary was the only pregnant woman in Israel? Only some moron religious person thinks this stuff. You know? Dear Lord, she's not the only one who had to travel pregnant. Just a lot of bad Bible readers who made up stories. So nobody was being mean to them, and they went there, and we have the idea that they were just some kind of poor. But we know this, they ended up buying a house and a place. And that was before they got these gifts. They had a house. So they weren't in abject poverty. It's like people act like they were. They were probably pretty much as the average person. They were probably pretty much as the average person. By no means they were probably rich of anything. I wouldn't think that they were at all. And we have no idea that they are. It doesn't sound like it. But you know, as one thing is, Joseph must have, I'm sure this man with the love that he had for this woman would have surely taken care of her. And it sure seems that he has. But we need to see this. So he comes along and an angel tells him to leave. Now here you are, things are really looking good. You know, we finally got past the hump of most of this stuff. And now, can you imagine what family's thinking? We're moving to Egypt. Now I want you to get this. Listen to this Joseph guy. I'm just really impressed with this guy. He said, Joseph goes on, he says, and they, you know, about the, they departed, he said about flee. Verse 14 says, when he arose, he took the young child. When he arose, what did he do? When he arose, he has a dream. What does he do? Oh man, I got to talk to Mary about, we got to get this, you know, and that stuff. And maybe we ought to, what about we ought to talk to some other people? We ought to just, you know, maybe. What do you think? What do you think? This guy looks at this. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. Now think about that. He got right up after and said, we're moving to Egypt, let's go. We know this, Mary was not an American woman. That's right. I don't know, 50-50, the American Christian. I'm sorry, I have as much say in this as you do. Preaching good, folks. This isn't popular church. You know, the guy in, you know, Duck Dynasty, he got mad. They'd sure get mad if I publicly went out here on the air as popular as he is and say things I believe that the Bible teaches about marriage. My God, the churches would crucify you. The spirit-filled, the guys on TV would be the first ones that want to kill you. They'll line up. I remember when Pat Robinson made a statement about homosexuality. And boy, all the big-name preachers, boy, on TV, they're, oh, he should never say nothing like that. He shouldn't publicly say that. He shouldn't say those things because they're in the Bible. He shouldn't say those things. That's why we don't preach them. We keep the checks rolling. But he gets up by night. We're moving. God spoke. God told me, and we're going to do it. Well, she obeys it. Now, understand this. This man has proven himself in his love for her. He's proven himself in it. So there's one thing about that. You need to know that as men, if you've been untrustworthy, don't be surprised. If you've been untrustworthy, if you have not been trustworthy in your life, you have no basis to expect anybody to believe you about anything. It takes time to prove yourself as trustworthy. Now, I know how to do that with Wanda. The Lord told me how to do that. When I first got saved, he said, Wanda, don't trust you. Now, that didn't surprise me at all. Today, I run into Christians who are the most untrustworthy people in the world, and you told them they'd untrustworthy, they'd almost cuss you. They'd get so mad at you. Who are you to judge me? Well, I just judge you because I ain't going to trust you because you aren't been trustworthy. Trustworthiness proven over time. So over time, I had to prove to Wanda that I was trustworthy, that she could listen to what I said, that you know that I did hear from heaven. You know, if you keep telling God told you to do things and you go do them and none of it ever works out, there's a good chance you probably heard pizza talking or something in your stomach in the bed one night. It probably wasn't God. Because trustworthiness is going to be proven out over time. So we know about this, he's trustworthy. But overnight, the whole thing of obedience, and here's the one thing, this is why this cannot be people who don't walk by faith. They hear and they obey. They hear and they obey. When I came into the kingdom, back in January 1980, I got born again and came into the kingdom. It was the most, one of me, is most astounding thing, because the charismatic renewal was going on. All kinds of people were getting saved, filled with the Holy Ghost from every religious group you could think of. People, you know, didn't matter what denomination, there was people getting born again, full of the Holy Ghost, and all that kind of stuff going on. But one of the most remarkable things it was, if people heard the truth, they would instantly obey it. They didn't need to hear 493 messages on the subject. They didn't have to sit down and listen to, you know, 15 tape series till they could try to believe God would heal you. You didn't have that. People, I watched when I came in, I was just amazed. People would hear the word and they just believe it was true. I remember when the church we started going to, and Mike started coming there to that church and that stuff, and we'd get together with Mike. We were nuts. Because if the Bible said something, we just thought it was true and we'd go do it. We were just so stupid. But I'm glad I was that stupid. We got hooked into that. If the Bible said it was true, that was it. There's no more discussion. People want to talk about it? We didn't talk to them about it. You gotta forget it. You either believe it's true or what's the point? It's true. And so we believe the word. We started off like that. Well, hey, this stuff's true. But loads of people out there were like that. I mean, today, the most staunch Christian, you gotta try to almost plead with them to follow the word. You almost gotta, oh, come on, please. You know, just do what the word says. Well, I just don't know. I need to listen to some more. I just need to hear some more about this. I love these people because they just believe the word. They just believe the word. See, I believe the story is true. Now, I'm sure, I will guarantee you, you go to churches through this community and they will tell you, well, you can't take all of that for being, you can't take all of that. And I'm not going to hell with those ministers. Because most of them are not Christians. I don't care what they tackle on their door, and I don't care what they put in front of their name. It don't matter. I don't care if they have a PhD in it. You know, they're a post hole digger. I don't really care. I believe what the Bible says, and what the Bible says is true. I believe God came into the earth as a man. I believe he was born through a virgin. I believe he walked and lived in this earth. I believe he went to the cross and took my sin. People say, well, how did he actually do that? I ain't got a clue, and I ain't gonna ever study it either. I don't really care. All I know is it works. You know, water's wet, but I don't study it. I don't go to the faucet and let it run and stand there for 20 minutes. I wonder how that does that. I'm not gonna drink it till we find out how it does that. I don't know. We're gonna study it good, you know. You know, people, you ever think about it? People go to the doctor. The average person would go to a doctor, have a problem, go to the doctor, and the doctor would say, here, take this. They don't think 10 seconds of it. They'll shove it in their mouth immediately. They'll just shove it in their mouth and, oh, praise. And then after they shove it in their mouth, then after they start feeling bad later, then they read the side effect paper. The Bible comes along and says it. And we need 27 lectures to go to, and we need all this stuff to try to get around. And here we have these two people. God says something. And they just go do it. Do you know, really, their life was a real sacrifice. Their life was a sacrifice. You know, we have the idea God comes and tells you in Jerusalem and tells you to move to Egypt. We don't understand the struggle that what it would take to do that. You know, he didn't call a moving van. You go without nothing. Maybe you have a donkey to put the wife on to carry. Look, she's got a young child. You can't be humping around out there. You ain't carrying your furniture with you. You're not taking your favorite stuff along. I got my 20 stuffed bears I wanted to sleep with at night. And they got to go. Say, God don't know that. Well, you got to go get a van to go carry it. You got to do something. See, we don't know about that. These people here, I mean, you realize what they went through to do what they did? They just obeyed. See, we think about it in our nice little vernacular. You know, it was more of a struggle for them to go 20 miles than it does for us to go, you know, 10,000 miles. And did it at a drop of a hat. So you and I can stand here today born again So the gospel got into the earth. Jesus died because there was people who were obedient before us. They didn't ask the questions, they obeyed. They just said, God, what you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. And you know what? Neither of them were born again. Neither of them were born again. Neither of them were born again. They didn't have the new birth. They didn't have the Holy Ghost living in them. They didn't have the teacher in them. Dear Lord, we should believe quicker than they do. They didn't do it. But you know what? What they heard, they were just people. If God says it, we're going to do it. That's why we take communion today. If this story, these things I'm talking about are not true, there's no purpose to this. God wasn't a man. To take communion is a worthless thing. Did God become a human being? Did he have flesh and blood? See, we take communion over flesh and blood. God became a man. That's surely not believed much today. God became a man. All the wonderful promises that we have in this book, all the wonderful promises in the Bible, they're all the promises are yes and amen. And why are they? Because that story's true. Because that Mary and that Joseph, common, ordinary people, but they didn't have a common, ordinary faith. Man, those people, they had a faith like a king or queen. They just believed what God said. All the people with all the great educations and all the things that they did, all the things that took place, didn't bring to us. Just think of all the Pharisees and all the study that they did in the law. Didn't bring us the Messiah. Two people who heard and acted brought us the Messiah. Allowed the Messiah to be born into the earth. A man who is willing to take a child isn't his. All this thing around. And folks, the society they're in ain't nothing. There's nobody in America knows anything how they felt. Nobody in America, because in America you had zero of what went on in their societies. Nobody ever threatened anybody with death here. Except Muslims might today still, they would still do it even living in America. You know, you don't do what they want, don't kill their kids, they don't care. But if a Christian says, well, we have none of it, and yet they followed by faith. Hallelujah. You know, and I just encourage us as we look at these things, we're taking communion today here. Let's set ourselves to walk by faith. Let's set ourselves to live a life of faith. Let's come back to this book. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to really walk in the book, and if you do tell anybody about it, a lot of people ain't going to be happy today. They're not going to be happy. But we have a choice. We're going to walk by faith. If we want to see a move of God in our nation, we're not going to have it with what's going on. We can't follow what's going on. We can't have what we've been having. We'll have to go to something higher. If you want something higher, you're going to do something higher. You know, it's like, you know, whatever you sow is what you're going to get back. You keep sowing what you have been sowing, you're only going to get back what you've been getting. Do you know that? You got to go something higher. You know, a farmer never thinks, I'm going to plant 10 acres of corn and man, I'm going to get 40 acres of corn, man. I'm just going to go do it. He never thinks that. If he wants 40 acres of corn, what does he have to do? He plants 40 acres. Christians are what they call today, we would call insanity. They think if you keep, they're trying to look for a different outcome doing the same thing. It doesn't work. I like Joseph and Mary's outcome. Their outcome did the perfect will of God. That should be our target. You know, there's nothing to matter. I believe God will give you money. I believe God will bless you. I believe all those things. But I don't believe you do the perfect will of God for those reasons. I do not believe that. I don't believe you give to get. I believe you give because it's right. Thank God, God will give it. I believe the wrong attitude is what shuts a lot off and why people get perverted over there. But to do what's right, Mary and Joseph just did what's right and blessed the world. You know, they were surely of the faith of Abraham, weren't they? God said, let's go to another land. Those two went to another land. They walked into something different than anybody else had ever walked into before. They did something different We know this, that Joseph probably died. We don't know how, you know. But most of the church world faith people today would kill Joseph. He must not know much about faith. He died, you know. He wouldn't know nothing about faith. He died. I imagine Joseph was sort of a lot like John the Baptist. I think he left so God's will could get done, to get things out of the way because of the way people thought. These are the kind of people who follow God. And that's what I want to be, don't you? You know, nobody may ever see what you do for God to pat you on the back, but God sees. Don't think that you have to be in some great position or great place to do a great thing for God. Many may never see or know what you do. I've known this for a fact. I'm just from the areas of prayer. Man, I know at times I lock myself away for prayer and spend time in prayer and doing things. I know people that God healed and everything else. They never know, and I never told them. I never told anybody things that happened to people and stuff, and I knew were going to happen to them. I knew things that God was going to take care of. I knew it. Wow, you could do it off in prayer. Yeah, have a choice. You can go broadcast to everybody else and let everybody else know what a big deal you are, and after a while, God can't use you anymore. Or you can just, you know, follow God. God will bless you. It's number one. My biggest reward ain't here on earth. My biggest rewards are when I leave this earth. Hallelujah. We're laying up treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt. I'm going to tell you, money will corrupt if you really got to be watching and care for it. This stuff here. You know, you buy the best and it still falls apart, don't it? Hallelujah. But praise God, we're laying up treasures in heaven. And see, just, you know, you don't have to be Mr. or Mrs. Popular. It's just doing the will of God. These two did, you and I can. Hallelujah. They walked by faith. And so let's do the same thing. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray and we're going to have our communion this morning. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come and thank you today for this opportunity we have, Lord God, as we got around the word this morning. And Father God, we want to thank you that, Lord God, we're not exalting two people, but Lord God, we're exalting your plan in the earth.